This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters August 23rd. More information is available at overcomermovie.com.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Welcome, everybody. Just recently, I talked with author Jim Simpson about his book, The Red-Green Axis 2.0, An Existential Threat to America and the World. And we talked in the last interview about how the Democratic Party, American Marxists of all kinds, and the forces of Islamic Jihad are working to dismantle our nation through immigration. Now, we talked about the Marxists who are fueling this effort, but what about Islamic groups in the United States? Groups like CARE, for example, the unindicted co-conspirator in the Hamas funding trial. Well, in fact, CARE recently published a report that was called Hijacked by Hate, American Philanthropy and the Islamophobic Network. And Jim is joining us again now to tell us more about it from his piece over at the Center for Security Policy called CARE Islamophobia Report, a First Class Fraud. Jim, I love the title. It's great to have you with us again.
Yeah. Hey, Janet. Great to be with you.
Thank you.
I had many titles and I just finally... That one just seemed to clink because they're, or click rather, it's just so full of lies, so full of misdirection. It's, in fact, that's what the entire piece is all about. And it's astonishing how gallingly dishonest it is, but really, how stupid, because anybody who takes any time could take it apart very easily, and I have.
Yes.
The very discouraging part is, you know, it got, for example, a review by NPR, which, you know, lauded it, and these people obviously don't even read what these people write, because it's blatantly false what they say.
Right.
Everything about what they say is false.
Well, the whole gist of it, it seems, is to attack groups that are their enemies and to somehow, you know, label them Islamophobes, which basically comes down to saying anything that Islamists don't want you to say. It has nothing to do with truth or error. It's just we don't like that, so be quiet. But they're trying to get at the money angle. What is the gist of this thing? Overall, if you were to summarize it, what is the gist of what they're trying to put out there?
Well, of course, they've always been trying to marginalize and discredit their opponents as Islamophobes, as haters, as xenophobes, bigots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as I point out in the piece, the ones that they bring up for particular vilification are those that have been most effective at exposing who and what they are. For example, David Yerushalmi's American Freedom Law Center has never lost a case against CARE, and they have sued CARE multiple times, most recently in Alabama and Virginia. And in both cases, they won huge victories. And in Virginia, CARE is going to have to shell out a lot of money, because what they did is they attempted to smear and fraudulently attack these people who subsequently became clients. So, you know, it's very obvious that these particular groups are ones that they want to see off the table entirely. So what they've done this time is they've brought up the network of dark money that supports a vast network of dark money, which supports this billion-dollar network of Islamophobes and xenophobes.
Oh, sure.
But when, and so the dark money is donor-advised funds. And donor-advised funds, there are many of them. There's Vanguard, there's Fidelity, there's a whole list of them, and I list them all in that piece. And the left uses those extensively, including CARE and all of the other Muslim Brotherhood groups use, accept money from donor-advised funds extensively, and I list the amounts and those organs, some of those organizations that do in this report, including CARE. But CARE singles out a few of the David Yerushalmi's group and the Center for Security Policy and a few others that receive some of their money from donor advised funds. Donor advised funds have been around for ages, and they are, you know, people, wealthy people who just throw their money into a donor advised fund, and the donor just, and the fund just decides where to send it. And they can specify, well, we want it here or we want it there, and they don't have to, they don't have to be named. And as you know, the left has gone out of its way in attempt to identify and dox any donor to any conservative cause, because then they go after them personally. They attack them. They show up at their front door. They protest them. They threaten them. They attack their employers. You know, so there's a good reason for especially conservative donors to use that vehicle.
Yeah.
But still in all, it's a small component of what these groups take, and what these groups take is a drop in the bucket compared to what CARE and its Muslim Brotherhood Network and its leftist support group receive from not only donor advised funds, but from huge left-wing billionaires like George Soros, Tom Steyer, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Fund, and many, many others. So the whole notion is just completely 180 degrees of what is true. But what they are trying to do very clearly is intimidate donors away from providing the measly, paltry funds that they do provide to these groups.
Right.
And to starve them on the vine and kill them off.
Yeah.
Because those groups, despite their threadbare funding, are having serious impact on the Council on American Islamic Relations in this country and its motherhood network of Muslim Brotherhood organizations.
Which is great.
Are here. They are not 501c3 civil rights or social welfare nonprofits. They are subversive organizations trying to undermine our rule of law, undermine our nation in an alliance with the left to see this nation come apart at the seams so they can take over in the vacuum.
Well, that's the whole thing there. You just kind of summarized it. But it's interesting to me, one of the things that you say in the piece is these six organizations that are, you know, in a particular threat, it would seem, to CARE, because they're singling them out. Center for Security yep. Policy, as you mentioned, David Horowitz, Freedom yep. Center, some of these other really effective yep. organizations, all great ones. Yep. This goes back to CARE being afraid of losing its 501c3 status. Do you think that's what is really driving this? Because those organizations are having such an effect. Oh, it's bigger than that. Okay.
It's bigger than that. I mean, CARE definitely, I suggest, as one of the remedies to this, should be that CARE, and in fact, all the Muslim Brotherhood groups, lose their nonprofit tax exempt status.
Yes.
That's the very least that should happen. These are subversive organizations. They do not practice terrorism in the United States right now. At least we haven't been able to find a direct connection between terrorist actions in this country and those Muslim Brotherhood groups. But they have said in FBI documents that I refer to and cite in that piece, they have said that they would use violence if necessary as a long part of the long-run objective to overthrow this country.
Wow.
I mean, these are all things in FBI files. It's just simply astonishing that these groups are actually still operating in any sense whatsoever. But, of course, in 2008, we elected President Obama, the communist quasi-Muslim, who ended the Holy Land Foundation trial, which was the terrorist financing trial of
yep.
which CARE was a unindicted co-conspirator, and
yep.
all these other groups I name were unindicted co-conspirators. He shut it down, ended it, And now the statute of limitations on that investigation has run out.
Jim, hang on just a moment. We've got to pause for a quick break. Jim Simpson with us. We'll come back on Janet Mefford Today right after this.
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
The battle for life has heated up in our country, and standing for life is more difficult than ever. The Ministry of Preborn empowers young women in crisis to choose life by letting an expectant mother hear her baby's heartbeat and see him on an ultrasound. She's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
She did let me hear the heartbeat, and I was like, wow, it's something like living inside of me. It was a beautiful thing to hear.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. Would you join with Preborn and Janet Mefford today and help women with crisis pregnancies choose life? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, call 855-402-BABY. We really need your help during these summer months when donations tend to slow down. Please help right now if you can. 855-402-BABY. 855-402-2229. Or there's a Preborn banner to click at Janet Mefford. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. Jim Simpson is joining me, author of The Red-Green Axis 2.0, and he is out with a really important report, the CARE Islamophobia Report, a first-class fraud is what he calls it, and it's all going back to a new piece from CARE, Hijacked by Hate, American Philanthropy and the Islamophobic Network. CARE is really serious about shutting down its enemies or doing its best to try to shut down its enemies. You were talking, Jim, before we went into the break about what happened during the Obama administration and why we need to reverse course in order to make sure that these Muslim Brotherhood front groups are not able to get 501c3 designations or keep them, as the case may be.
Yeah, no, they're not social welfare organizations, which is what a 501c3 is supposed to be.
Right.
And they don't even actually pretend to be. They're very aggressive at lawfare. I mean,
yes.
CARE, the different CARE branches have launched thousands of lawsuits, most of them frivolous lawsuits, and in fact, one of them, which is one of the recent cases that Yerushalmi's group won, was they tried to set up a gun store and claim that the gun store had engaged in discrimination against Muslims by throwing this Muslim guy out of their gun range. And what they had actually done, the Muslim had come in with a fully loaded semi-automatic rifle, carrying it in a very aggressive manner, and violating all of the range rules.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you shoot, but
yep.
I shoot all the time.
Yep, I
you
do.
You go in with everything unpacked, with the bullets separate from
yep.
the gun.
Yes.
And then you go up and you listen when the range master tells you you can do something, you can do it.
That's right.
So this guy came in there and blatantly violated that. So they threw him out. And of course, CARE sued for discrimination.
Yeah.
And CARE, they lost their shirt. But these folks, they were very, very, very upfront about it. And they put a big sign in front of their store, which said, "We reserve the right to allow anyone or prevent anyone from coming into our gun range. The people we will prevent are terrorist organizations. This includes the Council on Islamic, American Islamic Relations, any Muslim." It was really funny.
That is funny.
They just, it was just priceless.
Jim, you remember what they did with Clock Boy? You remember that whole Clock Boy fiasco?
Poor kid.
Yeah. And yeah, they lost that one too. Yep.
Yeah. No, they just keep doing that stuff. But, you know, it's all part of this momentum to silence voices that tell the truth.
Yes. Right.
And I don't know if you saw it, but I wrote another piece at the Center for Security Policy, Truth and the Ability to Speak It Under Direct Threat, where I go into a great detail how CARE and other Muslim Brotherhood groups have adopted the language of the Organization for Islamic Cooperation, which was finally able to get the United Nations to include basically blasphemy law concepts in something called UN 1618, which both Obama and Hillary Clinton supported. And the only reason that's not operative in the United States today, where it clearly specifies those types of speech which are potentially illegal, the only reason we don't have that here is because we did not elect Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
Donald J. Trump. So we dodged a major bullet, but everybody should keep in their minds that that bullet could come back in 2020.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hillary was the one talking about peer pressure and shaming in order to implement Resolution 1618. Remember that? I'm sure you remember that quote. That was pretty well round.
It's
amazing.
We
made the rounds. Yeah, she's I'm so glad we dodged that bullet. But we still have the problem of CARE. One of the things that a lot of people have been talking about recently, Jim, and I'm curious for your reaction to this, is there has been a lot of push for the Trump administration to designate the Muslim Brotherhood a foreign terrorist organization, which would seem to have a good stair-step effect potentially onto CARE and some of the Muslim Brotherhood front groups. Why do you think that hasn't happened yet?
Follow the money.
Yeah.
Follow the money. I got it. You know, Michael McCaul, who was the majority chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee until he and Paul Ryan and those fellow incompetent GOP morons lost the House by doing nothing up to 2018.
Yep.
He said the moderate Muslim is our best best weapon against terrorism. And he said that was signed piece of paper, a signed photograph of him with a CARE Texas leader.
Oh, man.
You know, this is the kind of mindless groupthink that occupies the heads of so many of our members of Congress and in our state houses. And I think some of them may know what the actual truth is, but they don't have the guts to step out and say so. And I would also add that I don't know this because I haven't delved into all their campaign finances, but I would be willing to bet a lot of these people are getting a lot of money from Middle Eastern sources to smooth the road for these people. That's, I think, at the bottom of it. But also the other aspect, it's a little thorny because some people believe that the Muslim Brotherhood is not one organization, but a number of organizations with splinters all over the world. I believe it's one organization. I believe Al-Qaeda is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. ISIS is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. They just do not practice, at least overtly, practice terrorism, physical terrorism in this country right now. So that's what I would argue. But the lawyers, you know those lawyers.
Yes.
They argue the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law. And so they can't find that. They think they'd have a hard time making that stick. I don't agree. You know, I have people on my side that think that's the case. I don't agree. I think we should just do it and hope for the best. But there's another way to strangle that cat, and that is to strengthen subversion laws, which would also have the additional benefit of opening the door for our investigations into groups like the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and all these other communist-inspired, if not communist-led, organizations whose stated purpose, if sometimes you can find the statements from their leaders themselves, is to destroy this country, is to subvert it and overthrow it for a communist one. As you know, Roger Baldwin, the head of the ACLU, said, "We are not a civil rights organization. It was communism has always been the goal." You know, he said that.
Yeah.
And so these are the kind of things that perhaps we could look into if we strengthen those laws. But the trouble with that, once again, is we have so few members of Congress that are versed well enough on what these organizations really are and what they're about, and sort of and very hesitant to take on that fight because it would be a big fight. I don't know how what kind of chances we have to pass that. It would certainly be good to see it. It would certainly be good to see a return to the House Un-American Activities Committee, you know, to get into this House and Senate investigative committees that would start investigating domestic subversion like they used to. We've really let down our guard, and we have to bring it back up.
Oh, yeah.
But in order to do that, we need more people elected who really understand what the issues are.
Well, and I wonder to what extent the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood into the federal government during the Obama years remains one of the biggest problems of all, because I don't, you know, in the Beltway, who yeah. knows how many people are having cocktails together and, you know.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And I overlooked that. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. There are still many Muslim Brotherhood people in the various security agencies, and they need to be thrown out.
Yeah, they do. What would be your most important, I know we're running out of time here, Jim, and you've got to get going too as well. What would be the number one thing you'd like to see done next in light of this CARE report in terms of dealing with CARE? Well, what would be the next best thing to do?
Well, I'd like to see them shut down. I'd like to see them lose their 501c3 status. I'd like to see the IRS launch an investigation into them. You know, it would automatically be called political, but it would be called political anyway.
True.
You know, but they need to be exposed publicly for what they are. It isn't going to happen in the mainstream media, so it has to happen through this administration. But they need to be exposed for what they are, who they are, and perhaps, you know, that message, you know, broadcast throughout conservative media. So at least we can get the message across.
I love it. That's so important. CenterForSecurityPolicy.org. You can read the latest from Jim Simpson. Jim, thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate you.
Thanks. Thanks again, Janet. Great to be with you.
Thanks again for being here, Jim. Take care. We'll be back right after this. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters August 23rd. More information is available at overcomermovie.com. This hour of Janet Mefford Today is brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters August 23rd. More information is available at overcomermovie.com. Let's talk about the ELCA, shall we? I really don't feel like talking about Jeffrey Epstein. I know it was the big news of the weekend, and there are all sorts of theories about how it happened that he committed suicide after being taken off suicide watch and all of the maintenance issues that came up with the guards. I know all that, and I know it's very tempting to talk about all that, but I also find it to be just weird and depressing, and I know we'll have more to say about it in the future, but let's just let it sit for now, because I want to get into this stuff. The ELCA is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. This is a super far-left radical mainline denomination. They're as far-left as you can possibly get. And so it isn't surprising that they marched to the ICE building in Milwaukee, and they have also now declared themselves to be a sanctuary church body, signaling their support for immigrants. Yeah. This is what the Religion News Service story says. More than 500 years ago, a monk named Martin Luther nailed 95 theses outlining his grievances with the Roman Catholic Church to the door of a church in Wittenberg, Germany. Well, now the members of the mainline Protestant Lutheran denomination have taped 9.5 theses expressing their concern for immigrants and refugees to the door of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Building in Milwaukee. This was all part of a prayer vigil for migrant children and their families during the recent ELCA churchwide assembly this week. I got to play for you a little bit of what they had to say when they were reading their theses. It just, I don't even need to comment, really. You can just listen to what they said. Listen to cut six.
When our Lord Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. We repent of our silence, indifference, and lack of courage as our nation separates immigrant families, inflicts misery on migrant children, and turns away refugees. Here we stand!
Okay, first of all, this entire idea that these poor people are just all intact families coming here with a genuine desire to get political asylum, that they're refugees in dire straits, they're going to be murdered by their governments. Come on, we all know that's not what's happening. We all know that's not what is happening. You have all of these people coming across the border. You have children who are being put with people who are not their families. There's all kinds of corruption going on with these drug cartels, which are really organizing a lot of this stuff that's going on and insinuating themselves into the situation. And nobody wants to see children in cages. Nobody is in favor of that. But what would you have the American government do when you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming across the border? And you don't have the Democrat Congress or the Republican Congress, for that matter, doing what they ought to do in order to stop the flow of, well, President Trump calls it an invasion, but I guess according to the Democrats, that also means extermination, which it does not. But this is a church body. Let's talk about the rule of law. Let's talk about the rule of law, shall we? Let's talk about borders. You know, when I was talking to Vishal Mangalwadi last week, I thought it was so interesting that he made the point, without the Bible, we wouldn't understand the concept of a nation in the first place. The whole idea that there are borders is something that comes from the Word of God. Go back to Acts 17, as we were discussing last week, and how the Apostle Paul was talking about God setting up the borders of the lands. That's something that God was behind. So there's nothing wrong. There's nothing racist about having a sovereign nation, unless, of course, you're involved in political protesting that doesn't have a whole lot to do with the American way of life necessarily. I want to play one other moment here from the ELCA march. Listen to this woman, cut seven.
We firmly believe that the treatment of children and families at our border is a moral issue, not a political one. The well-being and safety of children, including ensuring family unity and reunification, must be a priority. Therefore, we commit ourselves to an ongoing struggle for just immigration policies.
Here we stand!
So help us God!
We will continue this chant as these theses are taped to the door of the Immigration.
Wow, if only they had so much enthusiasm for the actual preaching of the gospel and the evangelization of the lost, think how far they would get. It's moments like these that I say, I wish Martin Luther were still here to comment, because I don't really think he would be on their side. Everybody cares about people in need and the poor and people who need help. I think every Christian is a very loving and caring person who wants to make sure that we love our neighbor as God commanded us to do. But this is just politics. It's just plain old politics. And we know leftist politics. Let's make sure we delineate here. It's leftist politics. The story goes on to say more than 570 voting members of the churchwide assembly signed up to participate at this prayer vigil at the ICE building. And they were joined by staff from the ELCA and its Amparo Ministry. That stands for Accompanying Migrant Minors with Protection, Advocacy, Representation, and Opportunities. Also joining in members of the Greater Milwaukee Synod, the New Sanctuary Movement, and a local grassroots Hispanic organization. They marched about a mile with messages like, "We put the protest back in Protestant." Well, you could make the argument that you guys forgot what it means to be a Protestant years ago, but this is what's, you know, passing for religion on the left. And it's very interesting because, as I mentioned before, you have this interest in religion on the left now as a political issue. It's kind of come up here and there, but they recognize on the left that they need to reach out to swing voters and potentially bring over people to their side. I don't know how anybody with a brain who's a swing voter who's been seeing what the left's been up to for the last 2 years would give them a second look. That's why the polling is actually very bad with swing voters when the Democratic Party did internal polling on the potential for swinging those voters over to them. So anyway, you have Cory Booker and Mayor Pete talking about hiring faith outreach directors. Well, now Mayor Pete has done it. I'm going to introduce you to her through some of the things that she has said over the years, and I think you will find it quite eye-opening. This is what The Hill says. South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who is, 1% now, has hired a faith outreach director, the first 2020 presidential candidate to employ somebody in such a capacity. Her name is the Reverend Shauna Foster. She began working for the campaign just a few days ago. She is an LGBTQ millennial and military veteran, just like Mayor Pete. Buttigieg has made his Episcopalian faith a key part of his campaign and had previously said he intended to hire a faith outreach director. A little bit about Shauna Foster. She is a Unitarian Universalist. She left the Episcopalian Church when she was 13. And through some of the interviews that I've listened to her give, she talked about how she just needed something broader minded than the Episcopalian Church because they're so conservative over there, right? They're so conservative in the mainline Episcopalian Church in America. It just wasn't broad enough for Shauna. So Shauna ended up going to a Unitarian Universalist church. And this is the way her Unitarian Universalist church, where she served as the pastrix, this is what they actually had to say about themselves from their statement. It's Two Rivers Unitarian Universalist church in Colorado. "We are brave, curious, and compassionate thinkers and doers. We are diverse in faith, ethnicity, history, and spirituality, but aligned in our desire to make a difference for the good. We have radical roots and a history as self-motivated spiritual people. We need not think alike to love alike." I always love those kinds of statements. So if a conservative Christian walked in, would it be open arms time? Probably not. "We are Unitarian Universalist and Buddhist, Christian, Hindu, humanist, Jewish, Muslim, pagan, atheist, and agnostic, believers in God, and more. On the forefront of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer inclusion for more than 40 years, we are people of all sexual orientations and gender identities." What's that number up to currently? 52 genders, 600 gender identities. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's so fluid. It, you know, yesterday it could have been 92. Today it's 127. And who are you to say it isn't? Because it's all subjectively confirmed what your gender identity is. Of course, when you've cut yourself off from the moorings of reality, you can just invent that number willy-nilly and it really doesn't matter. But you're going to be very interested, I think, to hear some of what the Reverend Shauna Foster has done and said. We're going to get into that when we come back. You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. Stay with us.
From From Affirm Films, Provident Films, and the Kendrick Brothers comes Overcomer. John Harrison is a frustrated coach questioning his value until he crosses paths with a student struggling on her own journey.
What have you allowed to define you? When you find your identity and the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective. You
Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shirer. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters August 23rd. More information is available at overcomermovie.com.
If you're a medical professional, here's a way to move from success to even greater significance. Mercy Ships has an urgent need for pediatric registered nurses. You'll be joining dozens of volunteer medical professionals who've been blessed by the opportunity.
I think all nurses should do something like this. To serve the unserved is one of the most beautiful experiences.
Get more information by visiting mercyships.org/nurses. Mercy Ships, bringing hope and healing to the world's forgotten poor.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. We are back on Janet Mefford today, and I'm trying to keep you up to speed a little bit on how the left wants to be religious in the next election, because, boy, they'll really bring a lot of religious people over to their side because they're just so religious over there on the progressive side, aren't they? They're very religious, so religious. Mayor Pete, who has about 1.5% of the vote at the moment, has hired a faith outreach director. You know, he kind of kicked off his campaign by bashing Mike Pence and, you know, kicking Christians at every available opportunity. And that's the way you're going to bring in votes, is just attack Christianity nonstop. Or at least his version of it is better than the biblical version of it. At any rate, he has now hired the Reverend Shauna Foster to be his, I think it's director of faith engagement. And she went on Facebook and said, "Proud to share that I'm serving as the faith engagement director for the Pete for America campaign." So she's all psyched about this. She is from Carbondale, Colorado. She is a veteran. She is a Unitarian Universalist minister, I guess, left her church a few months back. But I want to play for you a little bit of the greatest hits of Shauna Foster so you can decide for yourself if this is a person who is really going to be a great neutral force for good to bring religious people over to Mayor Pete. Here is the Reverend Shauna Foster in 2016 protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline. This is interesting. Cut one.
My name is Reverend Shauna Foster, and I'm the board chair for Iraq Veterans Against the War. I'm here today with a delegation of veterans to talk about how over-militarized the police are in these confrontations on our constitutional rights. We often felt that when we were deployed in theaters of war, we had to respect Geneva Conventions that the police do not respect. The United Nations was here and documented these human rights abuses, and so we call on the Sheriff's Department, many of which who probably have veterans serving, to respect the people and respect the constitutional rights of the people. We feel that this is an part of the over-militarization of society, and this pipeline is part of that militarization of as well, and where people can just, it's colonialism, where they can come in and they can take whatever they want, including the land. The treaties must be respected, and we cannot have blood for oil anymore.
Oh boy, blood for oil and the bongo drums. Yeah, you know you're at a progressive protest. I guess she's been arrested a few times doing these sorts of things with progressive politics. Oh, she also explains why her church is a sanctuary congregation. This was back in 2017, and talks about the concept of citizenship privilege. Citizenship privilege. This is cut two.
As people with citizenship privilege, we need to listen to the people who are undocumented. And we have responded to requests such as we're going to go to the legislature to talk to our governor about pardoning people who need sanctuary so that they can stay here. We have hosted Dreamers who have come and spoken to our congregation and needed a community platform. We've offered our space so that they could do that. And continue with the youth empowerment programs. We got a grant to do that. All of these have come at the request of the Latino community, and they didn't need to be members of our congregation to fulfill these requests because, again, we believe ourselves to be a springboard for societal transformation. And so we listen to what the community wants us to do and really are in a position of service. And we have to really listen and check our own assumptions and our own training to be able to do that.
Now, this is interesting. She's into the sanctuary church thing as well, just like the ELCA, which I was discussing a few minutes ago. And our guest from a few minutes back, James Simpson, had made a comment about this that was written about over at Accuracy in Media a while back. And he talked a little bit about the extreme left branch of the Catholic Church and the role it played in birthing the sanctuary movement. This is kind of interesting. According to this article, Catholic Charities, this is from our friend Jim Simpson, Simpson says Catholic Charities, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and its grant-making arm are prominent elements of the open borders movement. The sanctuary movement has its roots in the attempted communist takeover of Latin America. With the supportive elements of the Roman Catholic Church, the communist Sandinistas had taken power in Nicaragua in 1979, and at the time, communist terrorists known as the Farabundo Marti National Liberation Front were threatening a violent takeover of neighboring El Salvador, and Reagan's policies of overt and covert aid for the Nicaraguan freedom fighters, known as the Contras, forced the defeat of the Sandinistas, leaving the FMLN in disarray. And then in 1983, Reagan ordered the liberation of Grenada. Groups like the Marxist-oriented Institute for Policy Studies were promoting the sanctuary movement for the purpose of facilitating the entry into the U.S. of illegal aliens who were supposedly being repressed by pro-American governments and movements in the region. Now, there's a lot more to know about the sanctuary movement, but we're seeing it again. And it's all, you know, making this a religious thing. We're a sanctuary church body. We're a sanctuary congregation. And we don't really care what the laws of the United States say. That's what they're essentially saying. So we don't care. Now, let me move on to another issue. Because if you're wondering whether or not she talked about the LGBT thing in her own life, you'd be right. She did. Listen to Cut 5.
Another thing I'm very proud of is the first Pride Parade in Carbondale. I know, yes. I started talking about my daughter at the beginning of this, but she was the one at the, she founded the Gay Straight Alliance with a teacher, Miss Lori, the librarian at Carbondale Middle School. And she was the one who said, we have to have a Pride Parade, not just Gay Ski Week that's in the winter and it's up there if you have a ski pass, but down here in the middle of Carbondale, first time in this valley, a gay pride parade for kids, all the kids that were out there. And, you know, I was in the streets with that. I had my world's okayest bisexual shirt on. And my daughter's
okayest bisexual.
Yeah, you know, I'm just okay. I'm not the best bisexual. I'm just, I'm kind of good at it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. And, you know, my daughter's a lesbian. So she had this cute shirt that said Les and had a little B and then had an N on it. And so we're wearing our shirts. And at the end of the parade, there's this girl who comes up to me and she's like, can I have your shirt? You know, and she was just a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I said, sure. You know, we always have to take care of our baby queers. And I gave her the shirt off of my back at the end of it. And that, you know, I'm just going to remember that for the rest of my life.
Baby queers. Baby queers. A woman with a daughter who started a gay club in middle school and has the distinction of starting the first gay pride parade for kids in Carbondale, Colorado. This is Mayor Pete's pick to click, folks. This is his pick to click, and very mainstream, right? She's really going to appeal to middle America and the religious undecided voters. Just know what you're up against. This is what it is. What about her spirituality now? Because this is from one talk she gave. That previous interview, by the way, was from KDNK's Valley Voices show. That was back in June. But this was from one of her talks on Samhain, the pagan tradition, recognizing the veil between the worlds of the living and the dead is the thinnest. This is all this paganism garbage. Listen to Cut 4.
So I encourage you to take a piece of the Samhain fire, and it seems like I have a lot, so come get some more, and put it into your own fire and watch it change colors. And talk
to those you love even though they are no longer here. And not to be obsessed with death, but to accept it as a part of living. In our post-Christian religion, we are returning to our pagan roots. Many Unitarian Universalist congregations honor Samhain and contemplate the veil between the worlds. We send messages to the dead and remember how they lived. We celebrate the old hags and their knowledge that can keep us alive through the winter. We are again encouraged as the living to commune with the dead, not to be depressed, but to accept death as a natural part of life. Now we bring together the living and the dead.
Again, just your average mainstream pastor living her life out there in middle America. Really? Yeah, we celebrate Samhain. We're Unitarian Universalists. We celebrate the old hags. We commune with the dead. Here, throw it into the fire and remember your dead. I mean, this is, again, Mayor Pete assessed her credentials and said, this is the woman for me for faith outreach. Now, I'm just a little curious who she's going to be reaching, because it seems she has a very narrow focus herself. And it comes back to, if you look at her online presence, it's all social justice stuff and getting arrested. I'm sure Jim Wallace will love her to death because she's right up his alley. Social justice stuff and protesting the pipeline and standing up for migrants and Native Americans. And it's all about LGBT. Oh, and by the way, on her Facebook page, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but when it talked about the fact that she had updated her status, it used the pronoun they. I don't know if she goes by they or just did it to stand in solidarity with her LGBT cohorts, but I'm not really sure. Again, it goes back to what I have said for such a long time. The left does not understand Christianity. It doesn't know the first thing about what it really is or how to reach out to Christians. They are speaking a foreign language, and they are speaking a foreign language really badly, which is why I would imagine Mayor Pete picked Shauna Foster, because she appeals to him more than actual Christianity does. We'll see how this plays out. We got to leave it there. We thank you for being with us here on Janet Meffer today, and we'll be back again with you next time. Thanks so much for being with us, and God bless.